Trusted wisdom, practical application, refreshing insight. These three hallmarks have defined Chuck Swindoll's Bible teaching ministry. And now you have access to decades of his personal study in the Scriptures, bound into one brand new volume. The Swindoll Study Bible is now on sale at insight.org/study Bible.
My continued hope and prayer is that you will find this Bible helpful in your own study and personal application of the Scriptures. May this tool help you come to realize, as I have over these many years, that God's Word is as timeless as it is true.
Chuck's warm personal style comes across on every page, and his informed, practical insights get straight to the heart of the message God's Word has for you today. With helpful features such as contextual background on each book in the Bible, application points, and people profiles on key biblical figures. There's even a tour of Israel feature. You'll find the Swindoll Study Bible at insight.org/study Bible.
It was in Isaiah 40, verse 8, the prophet wrote this: "The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever."
The Swindoll Study Bible in the New Living Translation is available today by going to insight.org/study Bible. Last week on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll quoted a few lines from Wilbur Ries, who said, tongue-in-cheek, "I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine." Well, those cynical words expose our small view of God. And on today's program, we'll see how God often shatters our perspective by disrupting our plans. Chuck points to Jonah as a vivid illustration of this truth. He titled today's message, "God Bends a Stubborn Will."
When told to go where we don't want to go and to do what we don't want to do, very few of us quickly respond, "Yes, sir, I am on my way." So before we cluck our tongues and wag our fingers at this stubborn prophet, I suggest we imagine ourselves in front of a full-length mirror and not forget the cause of most of our problems. All of them as they relate to a bad attitude, but most of them as they occur. And so we see the call in verses 1 and 2, and please observe, God does not stutter. The call is not vague. It's clear. It's precise. It's brief. The Lord gave this message to Jonah: "Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I've seen how wicked its people are," and that was true. There was nothing wrong with the call, everything right about it, but Jonah wanted God to remember he's Jewish. He's not a world evangelist. He's a Jewish evangelist. "Why in the world would you send me to a place like this if I showed up there in Nineveh? Jewish prophet comes with God's message." Oh, yeah. So he's got it all figured out in his mind. You see, when you have a stubborn will, your logic makes sense to you, even though you don't realize how illogical it is to fight against God. So Jonah doesn't like it, so we're not surprised, verse 3, with his response. He got up. Good, he said to arise, so he got up. And he went. Good, he said to go. But he went on his way to Tarshish, in the opposite direction. And we find in this third verse, interestingly, two references to an impossibility. He went in the opposite direction A, to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa where he joined a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket, went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord. And as Jonah will find out, even God goes on the ship when he buys the ticket. He bought a ticket, went on board, hoping to escape. Now, look closely at verse 4. The Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea. Isn't it interesting? The wind cooperated. There's no such thing as stubborn elements. When God speaks, blow, it blows. Rain, it rains. Churn up the sea, it churns. And so it caused a violent storm, and that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help, started throwing the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. By now, I'm sure their sails are torn apart. I'm sure a mast or two has broken. And it's threatening. And so, fearing for their lives, they shouted to their gods for help, and they threw the cargo overboard. And all this time, Jonah's sound asleep in the hold. Isn't that interesting? Don't pass that up. You can be so stubborn, you can be so carnal that you can sleep through the danger you cause other people because of your carnality. Because he's disobedient, other lives are threatened. And now the sailors, who are in this sense totally innocent, are now suffering from the storm Jonah's disobedience is causing. But he's asleep in the hold of the ship. Because he is a stubborn man. Captain wakes him up, says, get up, pray to your God. Maybe he'll pay attention to us and spare our lives. Watch this. It's almost a reversal of roles. You wonder who the prophets are. The crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused the terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. Why has this awful storm come down on us? They demanded. Who are you, Jonah? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What's your nationality? What's this all about? Never seen a storm like this. Jonah answered, I'm a Hebrew. Wonder how this felt coming out of his throat. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. The sailors must have stared at him in disbelief. What are you thinking? In fact, we read here, when they ask, why did you do it? They groan, and since the storm is getting worse, what should we do to stop the storm? Throw me in the sea, says Jonah. That's the first smart thing he said since we started reading the book. You need to toss me overboard. I'm the problem. And it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. The sailors picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea. At that moment, the crushing began to have an effect. Earlier when he said what he did, it's my fault, he's not repenting. But when he hits that sea in the cold waters of the Mediterranean wash over him, something else happened. The storm stopped at once. Remember what we said earlier, the storms never give God problems. It's people who sail on the storms that give him the problem. And this old ship that had been creaking and groaning under the waves in the crest of the sea is now still. However, there was something going on under the sea that was very interesting. The Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. This is the only way Jonah would have given in. I don't know what the fish will be in our lives. Of course, I don't. But I know that God has never run short of fish. methods of dealing with us. There's another verse I want you to look at that ties in with the same story. Two books ahead, you'll pass Micah, then you'll get to the little book of Nahum. Look at Nahum chapter 1. I love it when I have you look at places like this. Those little dust pockets come up from the seats as you... Nahum, what in the world is Nahum? Look at chapter 1, verse 3. Talk about relevance. The Lord is slow to get angry, but his power is great. He never lets the guilty go unpunished. He displays his power in the whirlwind and the storm, the billowing clouds, or the dust beneath his feet. I can almost see him on the horizon of this new year, the billowing clouds, as they hover over different ones of us who have resisted and, truth be told, resented. We've resented what God wanted and was determined to get from us. Nahum 1:3 says it well. He displays his power in the whirlwind and the storm. When he makes the transgressor's way hard, God is all over that. It doesn't just happen and he suddenly wakes up and realizes. No, it's under his direction. He knows what he's doing. When the prodigal took off with all the money he had coming to him, and he lived it up for who knows how long, and then the money ran out, and then the friends ran away, and then he lost his place to live, and finally he's living in the street, and then knee-deep in pig excrement. He comes to his senses. It says, when he came to his senses, he said to himself, I will arise and go to my father. And then he practiced his speech. I will take all the responsibility of all the carnality that I've exhibited. I won't blame my older brother. I won't blame my dad. I won't blame my home. I won't blame any friends. I'll blame. He's got that full-length mirror in front of him. Appropriately, there's the problem. So what happens to Jonah? But it doesn't happen until he's inside the fish. And I'm going to suggest to you, chapter 2 is the strangest place of prayer you will find in all the Bible. From inside the fish, my Bible reads in verse 1 of chapter 2, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble. You know, the beauty of this is that the Lord does not respond, get out of my life. Or Jonah, I tried to get your attention earlier. I made it clear where I wanted you. None of that. God being a God of grace and patience, here's his wayward prophet. And the crushing lets up in 3 days when Jonah, verse 10, chapter 2, the fish spits Jonah out on the beach. First amphibious landing in the Bible. Yes, sir. That's the response. Same destiny? Yes, sir. Go to net? Yes, sir. Interesting. Same man, but what a difference. His heart changed. When God wants to do an impossible task, he takes an impossible individual, put your name there, and crushes her or crushes him. Never doubt it. In the end, God wins every time. Every time. I find 4 lessons from what we have uncovered in our time in Jonah. And let me give them to you. 1, 2, 3, 4. Number one, no will can be more stubborn than God's will. You can't out-stubborn God. He means business. Or as they say in Texas, he means business. God means business. When he determines he wants you in an area that whether you want to go or not is not important to him, because it isn't about making you or me happy. When will we ever learn that? It's about fulfilling his will for us. May this new year be marked by that. May we give up this idea that it's about my getting what I want. That's why I'm making these strong resolutions about this new year. Careful, careful. Make your first one answering yes every time it's clear what God wants from me. Because no will can be more stubborn than God's will. Here's the second lesson. No resistance can be less effective than our resistance. Don't waste your time and energy. Train yourself to think yes, preferably yes, sir. Train yourself to say that. By the way, it's important to remember that an open door does not constitute a call. Learned that principle years ago. There was an open door to Tarshish. I mean, Jonah could have convinced himself, it's great how God works. Must not be Nineveh, or I wouldn't have been able to get a ticket. Wrong thinking. God's will hasn't changed. It's just now being rationalized that you think it's Tarshish. You'll never get anywhere near there. Your resistance is completely ineffective when it comes to something like God's plan. Here's the third lesson. No relief can bring greater relief than being in the center of God's will. It is the greatest place to be. I have resisted God's will. I have fought with him. I have stubbornly refused to accept a particular direction he had for me. And I've said no several times, all of it futile. And then I finally yielded and said, yes, sir. And then I got what I had never gotten before. And that is a sense of peace. Because there is no greater relief than the relief that comes from being in the center of his will. For this new year, it's not asking too much of any of us. Seek his will, then do it. Do it, regardless of the trouble it causes, or the difficulty, or the adjustments. Do it. Don't fight it. Do it. You'll know a relief like you've not known for a long time. Here's the fourth. No time is a better time than now to say yes to God's call. If I may go back, Jonah settled for $3 worth of God, not enough to explode his soul or disturb his sleep. He wanted ecstasy, not transformation. He wanted about a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. Well, that's not the call. That's mediocrity. And that's not good enough. Don't let that happen in your life this year. Don't let that happen. Every so often, I pull one of the books off my shelf that I keep nearby because of its relevance to my world. It's Oz Guinness' book titled The Call. At the end of each chapter of the book, there is a challenge to heed the call or accept the call. Or respond yes to the call. I love it. First of all, it's the only Oz Guinness book I can understand. So it means more to me than his other books that I have. That one I get. When I got into that book again this week, I came to the end of a chapter that had this challenge. Do you long to escape the smallness of life with no purpose higher than your own? To rise above mediocrity and the quiet desperation of so many around you? To know a purpose no odds can daunt and no failure can dismay? Listen to Jesus of Nazareth. Answer his call. Answer his call. I urge you to do that today. Today. First day of the new year. Today. Lord Jesus Christ, I am yours. Praise be to God, you were mine. I will not fight your enthronement on my life. I give you fully green lights everywhere. I will do what you tell me to do. I will go where you lead me to go. I will say yes, and I won't hesitate. And I commit myself to you this day. Let's bow our heads. I don't know who I'm talking to today, so I'll just say I'm talking to all of us. I'm there with you. Whatever the new year includes, I give you my word. I will say yes when I'm convinced that it is the Lord in the leadership of my life. I urge you to do the same. Thankfully, I've come to the foot of the cross, and I've relinquished my future to him. Now it's my responsibility to relinquish every day. If you've not yet trusted in Christ, that is where you start this year. Believe in the Savior. Understand his death on the cross paid the complete payment for your sin, removed all the barriers between you and him. He's ready to forgive you and to accept you and to direct your steps into a peace you've never known before. Take care of that today. Connect with us any way you wish. That's why we're here. Let us help you on the journey. Thank you, Lord, for preserving this story. Thank you for the thousands of stories that could have included our names that have brought us to the end of ourselves and to face the consequences of our attempt to run away. Give us a sense of peace and relief, knowing that you mean business and you're far more determined than we'll ever be, and that our resistance is far less effective than we could even imagine. Give us a peace in saying yes to you, regardless of what that may include. Begin with me, I pray. May I model this for the rest of my life. Now to him who is able to guard us from stumbling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever and ever and ever and ever. Through Christ, I pray. Everyone says, amen.
Concluding his fourth message in a brand new five-part mini-series, you're listening to Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living. The series is titled, God Knows What He's About. If you missed any portion or you want to listen again, you can download the audio file at insightworld.org. As we venture into a new year of ministry together, it's a good time for us to pause and say thank you for the many loyal friends who gave generously in December. We are still calculating the final results of donations that were sent in the mail on or before December 31st. But at this point, we simply want to express our thanks to those who gave. With the fresh start on the new year, perhaps you'll decide to automate your monthly gifts by becoming a monthly companion. This makes the process quite simple and effective. You can take that step right now. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. With your first gift as a monthly companion, or with a one-time donation, we'll be pleased to send you a collection of 6 CDs containing 6 listener favorites from 2017. We're calling this set of CDs Our Best for His Highest. In this assortment, you'll hear 2 of Chuck's messages that focus on making the most of our time, 2 that focus on relying on God when life is hard, and 2 others that focus on yielding our lives to God and His authority. Give a donation and request this collection of 6 CDs by calling us today. In the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. At the beginning of today's program, you heard me describe the Swindoll Study Bible. Offered in the New Living Translation, this legacy book is for anyone who's a student of the Bible and wants to benefit from the decades Chuck has invested in pouring over God's Word. The Swindoll Study Bible is available for purchase right now. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Or it may be easier to go online to insight.org/study Bible. Join us again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll talks about winning the battle against pride, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, God Bends a Stubborn Will, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.